Have you tried going back and playing the games you played as a kid?
We're talking nostalgia overload, fun facts, and seeing if we can remember how to beat games we haven't played in 30 years.
Come join us. Retro Recall is all about nostalgia and reliving those years of zero responsibility.
Each episode, John makes me play a game from our youth, and I challenge him to do something in that game, and then the loser has to try one of the worst games ever made.
It's fun, it's terrible, but most of all, it's a look back at simpler times.
In the first episode, we try Double Dragon 2, and let's just say that John is still having nightmares about some of the terrible games he had to play.
You say that, but I'm not the only one. Ghoul School?
Dear God.
Check out Retro Recall on YouTube and your favorite audio podcast platforms.
There are links in the main show description, or just search Retro Recall.
Retro Recall. Come join us. Games are always better with friends.
Retro Recall.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is Tom and Lotus as usual, and last week we talked about weapons across the games, and Lotus decided, you know what, he was having so much fun, he wanted to talk about armors across all the games. So this is a very special thing, because this is like two Lotus-run episodes, one after the other, and that's what we're getting to. Lotus, are you ready to talk about all the different weird armor things going on?
I am, and I hope it seemed like people enjoyed the weapons episode. We had some interesting discussions of people's favorite things and like what they wish they would see more. It seems like the resounding thing on Discord as well as other places was like, bring back spears.
Yeah, lots of. In fact, I followed up with a question on our Discord channel.
Yeah, and a lot of spears questions.
Hey, what kinds of weapons do you want? Lots of people, pole arms and spears. Put them in the game. So, yeah, but we're going back to all of the different games in the mainline series and talking about the different armors this time. And a lot of them are similar, like leather's yes. Pretty common, right? Iron's pretty common. But right. Each of them has differences. And Lotus is going to break down all of that stuff for us this week.
Yeah, and I kind of have it sit in like a time period thing because, again, we could delve into this and take, hours of going into all this. So we're going to try to condense this as much as possible, but give you the overview of not even how the games always progress in a specific way, because sometimes they go back and sometimes they go forward. And it's just like it shifts around from game to game. So the one that I feel is most unique to the series is where the series started. So, you know, we might as well start with Arena, which is probably the simplest, but you actually might be able to kind of chime in a little bit with this because interestingly enough, as Arena was still kind of finding its footing on how the series would unfold, to anybody who watched my playthrough or, you know, on YouTube or on Twitch when I did it live, I was very confused as to what was going on in the game because...
Just period.
Well, yes, period.
Because you're playing like a 30-year-old game.
Yes, but the reason that the armor portion confused me was that negative numbers were better.
Yeah.
Because it uses
the
THACO system.
Right. Yes. This is an old system where armor subtracts from a number rather than being put against another number and one number has to be higher than the other.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was a confusing experience to somebody who did not know how that worked right out the gate. So by the end, I was very excited that I think my armor was like negative 26 or something. They're like, yeah, I'm indestructible. And it's like,
right. Yeah. So not to go over all the mechanics of this. But basically, the bigger negative, the more negative your number gets, the better your armor is. So negative 2 is barely anything, and negative 20 is really good.
Right. And in that game, the armors were definitely a little more condensed in types, but there's also one that's not seen. Well, there's a couple that aren't seen too much in the series. Also, it's worth noting the types of armor. So there's material types, which is leather, chain, and plate. In this game, that's like the type of material that you use. And then there's armor types. There's helmets, left and right shoulder, the cuirass, gauntlets, greaves, and boots. Those are like where you place the stuff.
Right. Right. And that has gotten simplified over time. But back then you had all of these different, you had the, like the little, it's not a paper doll, but the kind of, you know, the character. And then right. you could see like the spots on the character where the armor would go.
Yes. Yeah. And it was really funny because on your paper doll, it would show up like, and some of the graphics were basically just the same.
Very simple drawings, like, yes, like literally, pixelated. Literally that somebody drew it into like, I don't know, Microsoft Paint at the time. And that was the image you got. Yeah.
So those were the portions of the character that you would cover, and the material or the metal types were iron, which was like this grayish teal color. You had steel, you had silver, you had elven, so that was all the way back to the original. You had dwarven, so you'll notice it switches between dwarven and dwemer based on which game you get. Mithril, which is something that is not only in Arena, but not as common. You'll see it in Blades and The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion.
And comes from Tolkien. I mean, this was a material that you'll find in The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings.
Right, yeah. Which again, there's a lot of less than subtle ties.
And as far as I'm aware, it is something that he invented that isn't found other places. It's not like he got creative and was like, obsidian. Obsidian is a real world material.
Is an actual thing.
Right, like, right.
So it is interesting, though, because that one is kind of a little copyright
IP
cringy,
infringement.
It seems
like. Yeah.
It's interesting because, again, it's not the only game in the series that we see it. It's actually in The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, and it's in Blades, the mobile game.
Which is odd, because that's a big jump from Arena, the first game, to Oblivion, the fourth game, and then the mobile game Blades, but so not the other ones in between.
It's really not seen otherwise. We'll go through, because I was going to say, trying to remember all of these, there's categories galore, so we might have to do a couple fixes along the way in case I miss one of these. There's also Adamantium, which is, again, another one that you're really not seeing in the series.
Yeah, and also another IP infringement, because that was Marvel, and that's when you think of Wolverine's skeleton in his claws, they have adamantium on them. And adamant is a word that gets used and I believe shows up in other fantasy things, but adamantium goes all the way back to Marvel as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, so that's another one that's a little interesting. And then finally, the strongest one you can get in Arena is ebony, which definitely a stronger heavy armor generally in the series, but no longer what you would consider top of the line. It's just good in the later ones. That was as good as it gets in the
Once
game.
Once you get like dragon bones to make armor out,
dragon
it's
bones,
kind of
or
it's hard
we'll
to
get
compete.
Into the fact that you can take ebony and turn it into a better form of armor once they came up with the creation of like Daedra and stuff. But at that point, we move on, and you know that those are that's the main overview for Arena. So, bumping forward a game, we got Daggerfall, which is known for being the granddaddy of customization
and weird lore. It's the beginning
and
of
weird lore.
It's beginning of the weird turn, right?
It's really got it's where it got weird. Also, a lot of this we're not going to specifically go into too much with Battlespire, because a lot of this is overlap with Battlespire, because Battlespire sort of. It's not an expansion to Daggerfall, but it kind of is.
Yeah, the development kind of overlaps too.
It overlapped as an expansion that became another game, right? Yeah. So a lot of that you're going to see overlap. But at this point, we've gone to, I don't want to say correct numbers, but we don't use the Thaco system anymore.
Positive numbers for things.
Positive numbers that I understood what the hell was going on.
Right.
Again, you've got your armor types. You've got your head, your left and right pauldron, your cuirass, your gauntlets, your boots. Then you can have a shield type as listed in the armor category.
Oh, and so, greaves, right? For your legs. I think you skipped over
oh,
that
I'm
one.
Sorry. Yes. And greaves. Yeah. So it's there's boots and greaves now. Yes. Mm-hmm. Actually, there were greaves in the last game too. So my bad. Yeah. They're in both. But yes,
it
greaves is
continued
still a thing,
on.
Which is something that'll kind of come and go a little bit. But again, very similar style with the material that make the things, but no longer are we doing categories of plate and chainmail that they had in Arena. it's not really like that style of material type. So in this game, we've got your categories of leather, chain, iron, steel, silver, elven, dwarven, mithril, adamantium, ebony. And this is where, like, okay, so that we see continuation from the previous game. But we also have Orcish and Daedric in this game.
It's an interesting jump because those are in order of effectiveness, like quality.
Yes.
And Orcish is the second highest.
Orcish is very highly rated in this game.
Yeah. We're used to seeing it down in like Elven, Dwarven land, right?
But it gets bumped down the roster a bit later right. on. Right. Yeah, very similar, very similar in general to what you'll see in Arena, just kind of expanded a little bit. And this is where the idea of Daedric almost being like a fancier version of Ebony. It does have a unique look or whatever, but going forward, we're going to see Ebony and Daedric kind of have like this creation myth to it, which they flesh out, which I think is actually really cool to the like lore of the armor. Mm-hmm. But going forward, so that's kind of your overview of those.
Well, here, can I point out, there's a few things absolutely. I want to point out about this. So they go in order the way that you listed them, but then the armor rating is interesting as well, because leather starts with three armor, right?
Yes.
Chain goes to six. Iron's a little bit better than chain at seven. And then steel and silver are both nine. They're equivalent
right.
when it comes to armor rating, but there's a weight modifier for each of these as well. So steel is actually heavier than silver.
And so, you also have the benefit if it's in weapon form, which granted, you know, some of these attributes have effects on weapons. Silver used to be needed to fight the undead or ghost things. It was the equivalent of beating things in style of magic, but you didn't have magic. You could also have silver.
Right,
it's
right.
So thing it really has been cast aside in the later games, but
right.
So it was a thing you had to account for in the earlier games.
Right. Yeah. So silver is more effective in a very specific way, not just in a armor rating. It's actually lighter and it's more effective against ghosts and undead.
Right. So then it's got different benefits.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then Elven goes to 11, Dwarven's 13, Mithril's 15, Adamantium is 15 also, but has the same weight modifier.
Yes.
They're both 2x, so they're effectively the same, they just
the
look
same
different
thing.
It's which just, is interesting.
I think it's kind of like, what kind of sprite cover would you like?
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
because you can't like dye your armor or stuff like that in that game.
Yeah. And then Ebony is 17 but is lighter because it's only a 1x modifier, and then
right.
Orcish is 19, heavier again, 2x, and then Daedric is 21, so it's the highest, but it's also more heavy.
It weighs a ton.
Yeah, so it's like 2.5 times. The only other thing on the list of armor types that is 2.5x is steel. So right. it's as if they gate these as kind of, as with anything in games, there, if you're going to get a benefit, you need a drawback of some sort, right?
Right.
There needs to be some
it's
sort
hard
of balance.
To just give pure benefit to things.
Like, right, right. So that's
unless
kind
of... you don't
of,
care at all about any type of power creep like this, just like, no, this is just straight better across the board.
That's true. Or you put a console command and you don't have to worry about, you
just
know,
do whatever
weight
you want,
anymore.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so it's interesting that you can kind of see the design reasoning behind it, and it's not as simple as, oh, this is just a flat increase and the weights all stay equivalent.
Right. And, you know, this is where it starts getting interesting, because now we've got the layout that's similar, but things get a little more
complicated. Like,
yes.
I mean, we're talking Morrowind now, right? We're moving on to Morrowind.
We're moving on to Morrowind. And this is where it gets a little strange, because.
Wait, are you saying you're saying Morrowind is strange?
Yeah, weird, right?
Who weird. Who would have thought?
Such a normal game. But oftentimes with them talking about, you know, them being the metaphorical, them, the internet, referring to the games getting dumbed down, and don't get me wrong, Daggerfall is hyper complex. Morrowind is also still very complex. And I think the dumbing down, quote unquote, that most people refer to does happen after Morrowind. But in this situation, the armor is definitely worth noting, because now we've got it broken definitively into light armor, medium armor, heavy armor by styles of what they're made of.
Yeah.
So it's become more broad, and you still have like these three weight classes. Well, I guess it's a more defined three weight classes, And as a result of this definition, a little more in depth, there's more types. So these specific types of material that make the armor are now forming the armor for that weight class rather than just a steady, you're going up weight classes.
Right.
This is kind of all over the board. I want to just use light armor, but light armor doesn't necessarily scale off because it's just light armor can only get so good. It becomes, well, no, you specialize in light armor. You specialize in medium armor. You specialize in heavy armor.
Right.
And they have their own types. So this is going to get a little more complicated, which is why we're trying to keep this as simple as we can here.
Yeah. And the reason for that, I would assume, is in order for, if you are playing a certain class, you now know I'm looking for this type of armor, and these are the materials that make that are all light, or these are the materials that are all medium or heavy. And so although it sounds more complicated, it actually makes it a little bit simpler for the user, because once you go, well, I'm doing the sneaky assassin build, so I'm really focused on is for my own use, maybe not selling and things like that, but for my own use is light armor. And so therefore I'm going to look for these things. And then you begin to learn like, oh, glass is better than netch, which both of those sound super weird if you come from the other games, because you're like glass. I remember, do you remember playing and first seeing glass armor? I know you love your glass armor.
It's well known that is my favorite armor. Yeah. If you ever see my characters, they're always in glass armor. And I do remember the first time being like, whoa, that is, why is it glass?
Why is it glass?
Can I also eat the element that makes it?
Right. Yeah. My first thought was, I guess they just make glass really hard somehow.
Yes.
And but it's like, when you think about it, like something like obsidian is a glass-like material. So you could have other materials of stronger densities than, say, the glass in, you know, the window pane on your, you know, front of your house.
And this glass is made from the element malachite. It's the ore-type malachite, which is, it's this greenish material. So it's not window pane glass. It's a different type of glass, but it is just kind of funny as the concept of glass being armor or glass weapon.
Yeah. I always thought it was cool. It was a really unique, I hadn't seen it anywhere else. Yes.
Right. And this is where some of the armor types get really unique and less unique in a way that are just like copyright infringing unique. So to start with, you've got the different types. Now, each of these weight classes has this set of, pieces. So again, to go on your term paper doll there, you have your cuirasses, your helmets, your pauldrons, your greaves, your boots, your gauntlets or bracers, and then shields could also be, again, once put in as well. Interestingly, pauldrons are now pauldrons. It's no left and right. So that's now different. We've now simplified it to pauldrons, not left pauldron, right pauldron.
Yeah.
So,
which also makes for a more unified looking character rather than having like off balance looking things on your body, right?
Yes. But it's interesting because we've expanded the categories and condensed one of the types that you needed to account for, left and right and all this stuff. So this was a change that I prefer. So starting with like going with light style stuff, we've got boiled netch leather. Yum, yum.
Well, here, can we go through in order of like effectiveness?
Yeah. Let's, weight. Which one do we want to go with?
Well, we've been going in armor rating. So why don't we do it in armor rating?
All right. Armor rating. All
yeah. Because that'll help me. One of the things that you can do if you are interested in looking this stuff up, we pull a lot of our information regularly from the UESP. There is an article for each of these on the UESP, and on some of them, you can actually organize them according to cost or weight or rating or those kinds of things. And they're all in these little, you know, grids where you can actually see everything and arrange them, which makes it really, really useful because they're not always as consistent as you would think, right? Certain things can be better at one thing, but also worse at something else.
So. Yeah. And also we're not, there's some kind of weird one-offs like the Kolovian fur helm and stuff. We're not going to go into every single one of those. There's different types of house helmets and stuff like that are very similar, but have some unique differences. We're going to just go with the grand overview here for everybody. All right. So if we're going in terms of, armor effectiveness, we've got Nordic bearskin and Nordic fur and Netch leather right out the gate, all with like a 5 rating to your armor. So
right. So all equivalent, just kind of skins, basically.
Yes. And they have different weights. Well, actually, ironically, Nordic Bearskin and Nordic Fur are considered pretty much exactly the same thing.
And are somehow lighter than Netch leather, which is weird.
They are. Yeah. I assume it's the fluffiness, and the difference between bearskin and Nordic fur is the type of fluffiness. Right. That's how I like to remember it.
Okay.
Hope that helps everybody. Yeah. Then there's also, so the next category or the next jump up would be that boiled Netch leather, which it apparently if you boil it, it makes it slightly more durable. So that's sure. That's good.
Yeah, you got to work out the imperfections somehow.
Right, so you boil it. I luckily it consistently stays the same weight, which I also think it'd be funny if it got heavier, but
also,
it does not.
Also weird, yes. Okay.
Yeah, but it gets a little more durable if you boil the Netch leather. At that point going forward, we have the Imperial studded leather and the Imperial newt scale.
Oh, what about is it chitin? Is that how you
pronounce
it?
It's chitin, which yeah. I was going to say. It's yeah. Possibly one of the most mispronounced words on the planet.
It looks like chitin. Chitin, yes.
Yes, but it's a chitin, which yes. For anybody who is curious what the hell that word means as well, chitin is basically like the carapace of a bug.
Yeah,
It's like shell.
Bug shell.
Bug shell.
Bug bones on the outsides of their bodies.
Doesn't need to be a bug, but yeah, I was going to say, it's generally the shell. So those three all have the next armor rating of 10 by default. Now, obviously, that's not accounting for multipliers, but the flat value of 10, with the chitin weighing a little less than the Imperial leather or the Imperial newt scale. I actually did not remember newt scale until I was researching this. I completely forgot about that stuff.
A newt? I got better. Yeah,
a newt. Again, one of those lost a time. We don't use newts anymore in our
armor making.
In our armor making. No more newts.
Yeah.
And then comes the granddaddy of glass, which... Glass Whew. Is a massive jump in durability, Whew. Massive jump in value, and also weighs much more.
Right. Yeah. So we're going from like 5 to 7 to 10 in the armor so far, and then we jump to 50, and the cost of these is like 35, 45, 100, 28,000.
Yeah. So glass, that's the other thing, is glass used to be essentially just the greatest of the light armor category for the most part. I would argue it's just the greatest of all categories. But that aside, glass is your big final end game stuff. And like I said, that's the overarching thing of the light armor category is specific things like types of crab helms and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. None There's all sorts really... of other individual. If we went through the whole list, we would all just be sitting here while we list things the whole time.
Correct. We don't need to do that.
Right. But we've got medium, right? So let's jump over to medium.
Yeah. And when we go into medium, we already start with a much higher. We're basically starting with the armor rating at 10, which is the top end outside glass right out the gate. So other than glass, it's the first category. Well, but it also weighs notably more. So we've got Nordic ringmail, or Nordic ringmail is the lowest category. I didn't realize actually Imperial chain is the next one up, and it's a little stronger.
Yeah, it goes 10 to 12, right?
Yeah, 10 to 12. And then after that, we have bone mold, which is interesting. And that one's, again, little stronger, not too much difference in weight, but it's got a 16 flat value.
Yeah, whose bones are going in there, I wonder.
Well, some of them are named, which actually are a little different, but again, those are one-offs. Then there's Imperial Dragon Scale, which is another little jump up, and I feel like downplayed, ironically enough, in this game, whereas Dragon Scale is like the cream of the crop in Skyrim.
Yeah, well, dragon's bones, I guess some of them have scales as part of the design.
Dragon scale is like the light armor version. Dragon bone.
Oh, right.
Is the heavy
armor
version.
Yeah. I was thinking. So heavy. That's okay, why
it's actually kind of like middle quality in this game, which is just kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Also, just throwing out that all that debate over when dragons were just casually making dragon scale armor for the Imperials in Morrowind.
I guess so. I guess there's enough dragon bones and scales just sitting around still that they can just use them for armor.
Yeah, I just laying around, just old ones,
I
just
guess.
crusty.
I guess, yeah. Oh.
And then we've got Orcish, which is actually medium armor in this game, which changes, as we'll get into soon.
Which feels weird for the culture of orcs, too.
Without a doubt, when you
Yeah.
think of all the heavy armor and stuff like that. And then there's Dreg, which is interesting because we know dregs as enemies and stuff like that, but they just have their own quality of armor in this, or like a cuirass type. So that's another thing. It's there are a decent amount of dreg chunks you can turn into different pieces, so it's a solid medium style.
Dreg chunks.
Nothing says dreg chunks.
This feels like a very specific chitin type.
Yeah, it really does. It strikes me as the heavier chitin,
Yes.
for the most part. And then, again, we get into some house stuff, like the Indoril armor itself is considered the top of the line.
Right, but that's specifically for the cuirass, and there's again,
Yeah,
with
there's
all
a
the different
helm
parts,
version and stuff like that.
there's all sorts of different pieces, right? Okay.
There's almost an entire Indoril set, so it's sort of worth mentioning. But yeah, again, there's a lot of individual things. We're not getting into all of that. But yeah, so those are the medium armor types. Again, with Indoril sort of being the thing, but Dreg is, I guess you'd call it sort of the standout, but like it doesn't feel like the massive jump that you get with light armor,
Oh no, not at all. Yeah, Dreg
where it's
is
like,
kind of an incremental improvement, just like the
and
rest
it
of them.
incrementally goes up
Yeah.
to 45, so it's 10 to 45 is the best you can get. So it's like that's
Right.
a solid progression.
Whereas the glass armor would still be better and is light.
Correct. And it's much more contrasting to the other stuff. And then we finally have the heavy armor category here, which a lot of these you'll recognize. And they're much more standard to the older games. Again, we've got iron, which is a standard 10. We've got steel, which is the next stat up, and it jumps another 5. We've got the, it's kind of funny, Nordic iron, which is a little better than steel, but a lot better than iron. So apparently they're just all about like iron being, I mean, like Nords just apparently craft way better iron.
Guess so. Guess so. And it's only 5 pounds heavier. Both of those are 30. That one's 35. So
Right.
it's better, but only the weight
But
is
it
only
also
up a
does
little
way
bit.
more.
Right. Yeah. And it's one of the heavier ones until you get to like the very top of the list.
Right, which is also interesting because then Imperial has a steel version as opposed to just generic steel. There's the Imperial steel, which is notably lighter, actually,
Yes,
because
it's
it's
like a better Nordic iron, but it's steel.
correct. It's
Yeah.
that's we had the situation before. It does the same amount. It's got a flat 16, but it weighs less than iron or steel even normally. So
Right. So,
Imperials are good with their steel.
yeah. So it feels like a technological advantage sort of thing, where it's like they get the same effectiveness out of it, but it's lighter, so
It's
therefore it's
yes, it's less
easier to
dense.
use, right? Right.
And then it's kind of funny. We go into Nordic Trollbone, which is kind of a little bit more specific for some of the stuff. But again, it's a little lighter, and it's matching to the next thing, which is Imperial Silver, which is interestingly enough, like, okay, so we've got a silver version, but it's specifically noted as Imperial Silver this time. Standard base of 18 for that. And it's Imperial Knight Templar. Yeah, it's
Yeah, there's a few more
specific.
specifics, and then we get
So
to
then we're going to
Dwemer,
jump up
right?
the next notable jump,
Yeah.
which isn't huge, is Dwemer. So
Yeah, and not
we've got the
Dwarven,
dwarves back.
not
Nope.
Dwarven, but Dwemer
That's what
specifically.
I was about to say. Now, we've had Dwarven in the last couple of games. This is the first time it's referred to as Dwemer armor. Kind of interesting.
Yep, and that one's 20. The defense level is 20, 30
Yeah.
pounds, which is pretty standard for heavy
Yep.
cuirass.
So it's kind of like the other stuff, except just straight up better, like lighter weight and more protection for it. Your next one is Ebony, which
Ebony comes
again,
back, yeah.
we're back with Ebony. Ebony does a huge jump in protection where it's going from 20 to 60 as a base armor rating,
Yeah. That's
except it also weighs a ton more.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, so okay, some of the differences here are really interesting to me
They're
because
starting to get pretty dramatic at this
right,
point.
in general you would think that there would be kind of a gradual ramp, kind of like on the medium armors. But when you get to heavy armor, the numbers aren't that much better from the beginning. You're starting at 10, which is very similar to medium armor. You jump up to 15, which is another like a 50% jump. Then it's like 16, 16, 18, 18,
right,
20.
And little variations in weight.
Little variations in weight. Like very minor.
Heavy.
Very, very minor. And you know, the cost maybe doubles by the time you get up to some of the better ones. Like Dwemer is still 20, but then all of a sudden the cost jumps from like a few hundred to 1,000. And then you get to Ebony and the number jumps from a protection of 20 to 60 and the cost goes from 1,000 for Dwemer to 35,000 for Ebony. And yes, then and you get to Daedric and the numbers Daedric jump even more. Yeah.
Even more ridiculous, where at this point, Daedric is now a base armor rating of 80, which is getting kind of wacky in terms of durability. Yeah. It's doubled in value, so it's 70,000 for the cuirass, for example.
Right.
And then on top of that, it weighs 90 pounds for the cuirass.
Right, 95. Yeah, you go from pounds of like on average of about 30 to 60 for Ebony and then 90 for Daedric.
Which it's just like, just a 90-pound just chest plate. That's not including any of the other stuff. You're walking around, it's like this thing is just crushing your skeleton.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy
yeah,
stuff.
So that's, you know, that's where Morrowind gets kind of into it. Now, the other thing to note from Morrowind, and that's a cool little feature that's kind of gone by the wayside, is certain types of races are restricted from what they can wear because of their feet or their right. suits. Right. So like helmets/boots are a little, sometimes you got to make sure it fits your character if you're one of the beast races.
Yeah, if you got a big old snout or big old claws on your toes, or the Khajiit from Morrowind have like the angled hind legs.
Yes,
right?
The angled hind leg thing. Yeah. So it's interesting because that is actually into effect. So it's one of those things you actually do kind of need to account for if you're playing one of the beastial races. It's kind of cool. It drops off after Oblivion, but it's still kind of, it's kind of a neat feature that's in the game.
It makes it very distinct and different from the other games in the series because of those limitations, which... So like you were saying, from Morrowind on, they kind of button things up. Things get a little bit simplified moving forward
right. In
a lot of the systems. And I would say the armor system's similar. What do you think? Are you ready to move on to Oblivion?
Yeah, we can jump right into Oblivion because, again, we're trying to not just bog you down with just numbers. So Oblivion, again, we've got lots of different things where like... we've got rusty iron and stuff like that now too. But we have condensed things down. We lost medium armor. That ain't a thing anymore. We're done with medium.
Yep. just light and heavy. You don't have to worry about medium, which correct. I feel like makes sense because either, and this is where they start to break away from like Dungeons and Dragons and that kind of thing, where you've got like three different tiers, but either you're somebody who is wading into battle with armor, or you're someone who is wearing armor, but needs to be more mobile, or you're not really wearing armor at all. So it's as if they've gone from three types of armor plus clothing and robes to wait, no, if you're not going to use armor, you're just going to wear robes or something. Then there's light armor for if you want to be mobile, and heavy armor if you want to be slow and tanky.
Right. Now, the other thing that Oblivion brings in, which is also done in Skyrim, that is worth noting when it comes to this, is the leveling system in Oblivion and Skyrim is scaled. So... these things, these armor types will be, your foes have them in a scaling gradient. There are some that are placed where it doesn't matter. You can just get to them whenever. But who you fight and what they're wearing will kind of be in bands of this range is what you are. So your enemies are this level. So this is like their level range for this type of armor, which is, again, new because you kind of don't ever go into an area where it's just like, yeah, these dudes are just completely, you have no chance because it's just, they're all level like 50s and you're level 5.
Right, right.
They're always scaled to a degree.
It's the scaling thing, yeah. Yeah.
Right, so it's...
which is weird when you get to the end game and you come across bandits with really nice gear. But it's also weird in the early game when you come across, you know, nobility or somebody who's supposed to have better gear and they don't.
And they're wearing rough leather boots.
Yeah, it's a little weird, but...
So the categories now also, you have helmets, you have gauntlets, you have your cuirass, and you have your boots.
Yeah, it's way simplified.
So much simpler now. And again, you can classify shield as an armor type. So a little interesting. But starting with the light armor, we have like the rough leather style is your first tier of light. Then you have your fur armor. I guess just noting what some of the stuff is. It's kind of cool. This one actually has full sets, so we'll just use that.
Yeah, yeah. And fur and rough leather are similar, but yet still slightly different. Like
similar, but a little different. So rough leather is actually a little bit heavier, does a little more protection. Fur is lighter, does a little less protection. And then instead of rough leather, the next tier would be like actual just leather.
Regular leather. Well-made leather. So rough leather.
Not oiled, though. Not too fancy.
Not oiled, no.
Yeah. Again, it's a little bit of a jump there. Then you get into chainmail, which we have not seen really for a while. It was kind of a category back originally.
Yeah, it went from category to material type.
Material type, exactly.
Right, so which is also kind of interesting historically, because chainmail has been one of the most, I mean, aside from just leather or animal skins or that kind of stuff,
right,
is fairly common throughout. Like, these games are set in a medieval style technology kind of period.
Yes.
And you would assume going into that kind of world, anybody who was equipped for war, officially equipped for war by a lord who could provide certain types of manufactured actual armor apparel,
yep,
chainmail would be one of the first things that you would think of, aside from,
right,
you
very
know, leathers.
Effective against slashing.
Against slashing. It can protect against arrows unless, you know, once the arrows hit a certain velocity or, you know,
right,
sharpness
same thing
or whatever.
Like when you get stabbed, you can stab forcibly through it, but it's very good at deflecting the
right
impact on a slash.
Right. And super common. So historically, and yet in the series, wasn't very common. It was not one of those types, or at least, I guess, you know, it was a material, but it's not a material. Right. It's weird.
Exactly. It's kind of a category. So yeah, it's a little interesting, but now it's back as a type of armor, which I thought was kind of cool for Oblivion. Because again, it's why there's not a consistent direction where they're always moving away from sometimes. Sometimes it's just gone from the series for a while and then it comes back.
Right. Right. And then speaking of things that come back, after that we get Mithril.
Mithril is back. And at this point, we're into the mainstream games and Mithril is like totally good to go.
Yeah.
Mithril is just back.
This is curious to me. Mithril, which usually is one of the higher quality tiers, and in fantasy is a very, like, if you talk Lord of the Rings, in fact, I was just talking on the Lord of the Rings Lorecast on today's episode as I'm recording it, which comes out in a few days, about the Battle of Five Armies and the armor that the dwarves are using. And of course, the armor that the dwarves would craft Mithril armor, but they didn't have it in that battle because they weren't able to get the material as much at that point in the history. And it was also something that was very, very expensive. So it would have been saved for like royalty or very high ranking people.
Mm-hmm. But
is traditionally, from the origin source, Tolkien, one of the best materials you could possibly make something out of for, you know, protecting yourself from being stabbed or whatever. And yet
right
here, it is above chainmail.
But yeah, it's essentially fancy chainmail.
Yeah, it's fancy chainmail, and it's below Elven.
Yeah.
So we've now swapped them.
All right, let's do a magic trick. I'm going to list out three different stocking stuffers that I found at Uncommon Goods, and you will magically, in your mind, see the perfect people to give these gifts to. The Greatest Chocolates of the World Exploratory Set. A mug warmer that looks like a cute cat. A do-it-yourself solar-powered robot kit. Okay, maybe that last one was for me. But it worked, right? You pictured exactly who you'd give these to. Well, that's because Uncommon Goods is different from the regular store. The holidays are almost here. It's time to start buying your gifts, and you should go look for the highest quality, unique, and often handmade in the US gifts you can't find anywhere else. They have something for everyone. Moms, dads, kids, friends, sports fans, foodies, people who really like
puzzles, all sorts of people. And shopping at Uncommon Goods supports artists and small businesses. Plus, Uncommon Goods gives back $1 to a nonprofit partner of choice with every purchase, and they've donated over $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Make this holiday be the year that you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Right, and at that point, also something to note, Elvin is now back. We had a little break from having Elvin in the game, and so now Elvin has returned. And Elvin in this one is, like you said, it's a little better than Mithril, but still the grand poobah of really cool light armors is my most favorite, which is glass armor, which is at the top. Glass armor in this game has a very... Actually, you know what? I would say Skyrim will even take it more so than that. But it's got a bit of an elven feel to it. Not as much in this game. It really does.
It is a little designy, a little bit rounded and kind of
a little bit, but it's
organic in its shapings.
Yeah. But it's still it's a little less. I guess I would say compared to Morrowind, the aesthetic of it is a little more crafted in this game. Yes. Also, the helmet is hyper derpy looking.
right.
Just because, I mean, it's Oblivion. Everybody knows the potato face jokes. So
yeah, and it's actually heavier than the other armors, which makes sense. It's a higher quality. But this was another thing that I thought about when playing Oblivion and coming across glass armor. Is even if it is stronger than these other materials, somehow being glass, it would also be heavy. Like, can you imagine carrying around that much glass on your body? Lotus needed more boring. Lotus. We've been trying to keep this entertaining for our audience, and now Lotus is falling.
I killed myself. I know. Yeah, okay.
So we record in the evenings after Lotus has already had a long day of work. So thanks, Lotus, for hanging out, for making this work out.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm the same way that I tried to help with my ASMR, which people didn't really actually seem to complain about so much as like to point out. I try to run on liquid and caffeine so that I can actually sound a little more normal for everybody.
right.
But yeah, that much glass armor is actually pretty funny because it's, again, for light armor, it weighs 40 and a half pounds.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's like, oh man. It's like carrying...
I just find funny as a concept. I mean, honestly, like... in terms of armor, 40 pounds of armor is actually...
How much does your corgi weigh?
26 pounds.
Okay, so this would be like if I was equipping you by strapping your dog and my dog onto your back.
Yes.
At the same time.
Yes, that is, yes. I like that. That's a good analogy.
That's a good picture. It's like carrying two small dogs around on your back.
Yes.
All right, so let's move on to heavy armor because we've got iron armor, of course, returns. But before that, we have rusty.
Rusty iron.
We have rough leather and rusty iron.
Sad iron.
Right, it's like it's old and not taken care of, and so it's not as effective.
Trash. So you've got the rusty and then the regular.
Yeah.
Again, obviously the regular is just being better.
Yeah.
Because the rusty is just not good. It's really doing next to nothing for protection.
Well, here's what's interesting about it. Like if you look at the stats, if we go up to rusty armor on the stats and we look at a cuirass, it has a protection of 9. If we go across to the rough leather armor, that cuirass has 6.25. If we go up the rankings... In light armor, then we get to leather armor. That's 6.25 also. Chainmail, and that one is 8.
Yep.
So what were we at? What were the first one? Was 9. So we're still not even the equivalent of, like, chainmail is not valid. The equivalent of iron, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, no.
Mithril.
Right. I was going to say, heavy armor is just straight up doing a lot more.
Right.
But it also weighs much more out the gate.
Right. Mithril is 8.75, so still doesn't even do the same protection as iron. You have to get to elven armor for the number to actually go past the lowest level of heavy armor in the light armor sets.
Right.
So there is a distinct difference. So this is very different from Morrowind, where they really aren't that different until you get to like the highest rankings. Here, you have to go up multiple levels of light before you get to heavy. So
it is a massive difference, but the biggest difference, because weight is a huge factor in Oblivion, as many people playing the remaster probably found out, So to your point, if we go all the way down to, we'll say Elven, because we'll go with what's stronger, okay? You've got Elven, it weighs, the Cuirass weighs 13 pounds.
Yeah.
If you go back to Rusty Iron, that same piece weighs 30 pounds.
30 so pounds. Like, yeah, so it's barely more effective, but it's like almost three times as heavy.
Correct. So like right out the gate, the weight is massively different between the two of them.
Yeah. I don't know that this is something people think about too much when designing their characters, is this idea that like if you go heavy, yeah, you have to, you build a character with more strength, you can carry more, but you also, like, it is significantly heavier, which means you've got less room to carry other stuff.
Right, exactly. And you know, if you're trying to get a foothold and getting money and stuff like that, you really kind of have to do a almost like a cost benefit analysis of how much you've got in weight compared to how much it's valued at.
Right. If you want to min max it, right.
If you want to, if you want to make a profit and not have it take 50 trips out of the dungeon.
Right. Right. So if we go from rusty iron up to iron, the Cuirass specifically is, it's easier to just pick one of these out and
sure. Just pick one item but type of thing.
The improvements from
a little better.
Yeah. 9 to 10. So it's a very small improvement.
You just scrub off the rust,
scrub off the rust, same weight, 9 to 10, and then we move up to steel armor. And steel armor, again, a kind of minor improvement, another 1.25. So
minor improvement, but notably 5 pounds heavier if we're just discussing the Cuirass. So it's just like, that's a decent amount of weight difference for really not that much more protection.
What's interesting to me, like thinking back to playing through Oblivion for the first time, I don't think it really dawned on me that the difference between those was so incremental. It's such a small, like you're going up like 10% and then 10%-ish, and then maybe even less than 10%. Once we get up to Dwarven armor, it's 12.5. Because
again, we're back to Dwarven, not Dwemer.
Yeah, 12.5, so, and it's 40 pounds for the Cuirass.
And it's 40 pounds. So yeah, no more Dwemeri. We're back to Dwarven, and it's a little better again.
Yep.
It's a little more distinct in its style, I would say, in this game too, cosmetically. And then now Orcish armor, no longer a medium armor set, is now considered heavy armor.
And is better than Dwemer armor.
And is better than Dwemer.
Which is not called Dwemer in Oblivion. It's called Dwarven again, not Dwemer.
Right.
So we're going back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah. So interestingly enough there. And I will say the Orcish armor has a very cool like samurai look in this, which I always loved.
Yeah, yeah. There's kind of this Asian influence in the design. It's pretty cool looking, yeah.
Yeah, and so then the next category we have would be Ebony, which is back once again. And Ebony is getting real, real heavy at this point. Solid amount of protection, but very, very heavy.
Right. Well, the increase is another 1.25. It's up to 15.
I was about to say, for the Cuirass. This is kind of consistent, where it's little increases, percentage increases almost, but
But then we get a big jump. There's a big jump.
We do have a big
from
jump.
From Ebony. Yeah. Go ahead.
And so we end with Daedric armor, and I am going to give a little caveat to this being the final armor type in a second, but Daedric armor is very weighty. The Cuirass is 60 pounds, but it also provides the most protection you can get in a chest piece.
Right, 18.75, so.
Yes.
Yeah. And even at this point, it is still, like, let's go all the way back to the rusty one, right? Rusty armor, 9. It is barely double.
Right.
Which seems so incremental, especially when we were looking at glass armor that was like 5 times the quality or the protection of the armors before it, you know, but now we're here and it's like, Dwemer's really good. It's just double.
Right. And so the thing that I wanted to mention, because actually, funny enough, it's not on this page and I'm not sure why, but it's one of the things I actually had on a secondary page. So I actually didn't put this in our chat. So you'll have to bear with me for a second. There's another armor type called like Dromora armor.
Yeah. So that's like even more powerful Daedric. Right.
No, it's crappier.
Oh, it's crappier. Oh,
it's basically like T
That's so weird. Armor. I don't remember this. This is not something that I keep in my brain and think about very often.
So more so, like, you're going to get a lot of this. This is like the armor. The weapons, it's got its own weapon style and stuff like that. And not all, like, you can't just go up and grab this off these dudes. Like, let me put it this way. You can't wear it, but I feel like it's worth noting. Because they all wear it. It looks very similar. And I guess maybe it's crappy because it's on the AI, if that maybe. Makes sense.
Yeah, maybe. Because I would imagine that it's not... Daedric is more generic, right? This right. feels very specific. Like, it's crafted very specifically for the Dremora, who are usually closer to the top of the Daedric totem. Right?
Yeah.
So therefore, I would assume it was better, which is what I just did, but I guess not.
Right. What do you call it? So the other thing that's interesting, because you can wield the weapons, like I said, you can't wear the armor, but you can wield the weapons, which is kind of interesting. But basically, it's exactly the same looking as Daedric. It's the same thing. But and they can have a lot of the similar enchantments and stuff like that. But basically, like I said, it's worth noting that these are here and. They're again, it could be because it's just on the enemies, but it's essentially just it's crappier version. It's just a junkier version. So I always just assumed it was just like, since the weapons are super heavy and not as effective, I just assume it makes sense that the armor is in the same situation. So
possibly.
I feel like we would be remiss not mentioning Dremora armor specifically.
Yep. All right. So there you go. Okay. But that was Oblivion, and
That was Oblivion.
We've got Skyrim to get to. We're not talking ESO in this because it's kind of its own system and it has a lot of similarities, but we are going to Skyrim next.
Yeah. Right? We'll finish with Skyrim. And I guess for the sake of trying to streamline it, medium armor returns in Elder Scrolls Online. The problem is with ESO, there's so many tiers that you can get into, and it's just these armor types, so you'll see a lot of them, but like, just because you have dwarven ingots, that's the quality of the thing, but then it doesn't actually mean that's what it looks like. So that's why it's a little hard to discuss ESO in the terms of this single player venture that we're going through.
Right. It's way more nuanced, especially in especially crafting like the high end gear and the different types of things that have different effects.
So Elder Scrolls Online is almost its own beast of, there's lots and lots and lots of different styles of stuff, and they unfortunately don't really match cosmetically by default because they're two separate categories. But it is worth mentioning they did bring back medium armor for the Elder Scrolls Online.
Right. Okay, so let's jump to Skyrim.
Yeah, so,
and
so let's
you mind
go
if
to
I
Skyrim
you mind if I pull out some of these?
Absolutely, because I was going to say, this one, I would think, is actually more your forte.
Yeah, I probably put more time in... I played a lot of Oblivion. I put more time in Skyrim than probably the other games.
I would say Skyrim is probably your niche more than any others.
Right. So light armor, heavy armor, just two sets, right?
Same again.
And you have different tiers, right? There's Forsworn, Fur, Hide, Studded, and Vampire. Those are kind of like the bottomest tier, and then these things start to show up as you level up through the system. So at level one you can come across a lot of that stuff. Then you get to leather, chitin, elven scaled, elven gilded, stalrim glass, and then dragon scale, like you mentioned before, which I'd forgotten. Dragon scale was different than dragon bones.
Correct. But, totally. It's the light armor version,
right?
But is outside Forsworn and I guess Vampire, a lot of this is, well, Stalrim is unique to it, but I was going to say, you'll see, again, a lot of these once again returning. Some of these, like Chitin, came back with the expansion.
Yes, right. So some of these are returned. Elven is back again.
Elven is back again.
The leather, of
glass
course.
Is a very elven look. Like the style of it has become very elven infused in this game. Mm-hmm. But Stalrim is like frozen rock.
It's kind of like an ebony sort of kind of thing.
Very much. It's like the light equivalent of ebony is what I always thought of it as.
Right. And the numbers on these, like if we rank them in order of like rating, then we start with Hide at 40, Vampires at 40, Studded at 43. And there's There's peculiar details in this that if we want to get into the
area. Yeah, we don't need to go into
these are the base numbers, right?
Try to cover all of these games in one thing.
Right, right. But Fur then comes up, like Oblivion, 46. Forsworn's 55. Leather's also 55. So equivalent there. Elven is 58. Chitin is 60.5. Scaled is 64. Elven Gilded is 64. Glass is now 76. Not five times better than everything else. Stalrim at 78.5. And then Dragonscale at 82. But you'll notice that, again, just like in Oblivion, it's an incremental improvement. You're getting like 10% increases-ish as you move up. And by the time you get to Dragon Scale, it's double the rating of like Hide or Vampire. It's really exactly. Not that much more effective, but it is twice the weight. So yes. It's almost like they kind of streamlined the equivalencies down to the weight and the armor. Some of these are, you know, like Scaled is heavier than Elven Gilded, which is lighter, sure. Which makes sense because elves would craft very intricate designs that were a little bit more technologically advanced and that kind of thing. So you have some similarities there with Oblivion, but the list is different.
Right.
That makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that was a nice condensed version of that one.
There you go. And then we've got heavy armor. So let's
go with heavy now.
Let's talk about heavy. I'm going to go through in order of rating. So we've got iron at 60. So comparing the two, iron is as effective as chitin, which is like most of the, like more than halfway up the list of light,
more
right?
More than halfway up the tree.
Yeah. Then we have ancient Nord also at 60. Banded iron at 63, right? Steel at 72. Bone mold, which is like 73, 74.
And Dwarven. One we haven't seen it since Morrowind.
That's true. And then Dwarven or Dwemer, but it's again Dwarven, 78. Falmer Hardened, which is equivalent to Dwemer Crafting, which is weird to me, at 78. I mean, it is, but it's also lighter, which is strange. You would think that the dwarves would have better technology to make things, but I guess not.
They were too busy oppressing the Falmer.
I guess so. And the Falmer got better at making armor than they were.
They got better at making the stuff for the dwarves.
Weird, right? Then you got another level of bone mold at 79. Chitin at 87. Steel plate at 87. The chitin also lighter than the steel plate. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Orcish at 90. So Orcish is better than chitin. It's better than Dwemer. But it's not as good as Nordic, which is new. We haven't had that on the list. At 93. Falmer heavy armor is 96, which is just another variation of Falmer, which is kind of crazy to think about. Like, those Falmer were better craftsmen than we give them credit for.
Clearly.
Clearly. And then Ebony at 96. Falmer heavy again. This is the like shell bug version on this at like 97. Stalrim at 102, Dragon Plate at 102, and then Daedric at 108. So Daedric is still more effective than Dragon, but it's also still the heaviest at 81 pounds instead of, say, 64 for Dragon Plate, and about double 46 or 41, which is where we start with like Iron and Ancient Nord. So
right.
Similar ramp up in ability and weight, but lots yes. of other variations along the way, which makes this feel a little bit more kind of fun to pick and choose what you're going to use along the way, you know?
Exactly. And one of the things that is pretty cool is at this point in the series, we have established the lore of Daedric, where it is a form of ebony. And if you're going to craft it, you just need to smush a Daedra heart into it.
That's right. That's right. Just smush a Daedra heart and now you got it.
Just smush it right in and you got yourself Daedric.
I wouldn't put it past Daedra. Do you think that's also how they craft it?
Just smushing their own.
Well, they murder another Daedra, take their heart, and then craft.
They just get sick of their neighbor, and they just smush them into their armor, and that now they have.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I know. That seems on brand.
Seems on brand.
And again, you'll notice a few of these we had not seen since Morrowind. That's because the Dragonborn expansion, you return
right.
to the island of Stolzheim, which is a huge Morrowind callback. So that's why you do see a lot of these returning again, specifically like for Skyrim
and bone mold,
yeah. stuff like that. Yeah, for sure. So that's kind of an interesting little twist to that as well. Why those have returned. The only thing that I think is worth noting to close this up is I hope this has been all encompassing, you know, without getting into the needlessly nitty gritty.
Well, we can do future episodes on some of the like the really special ones.
If people really are interested in us getting super deep divey into specifics, we can. But this was doing the quickest.
This is the overview. This is the overview version. Maybe we'll pull out some of the specific ones.
It's hard when you have 30 years of game in the series.
It is. It also, another fun topic would be like, what do you want to see in the next game? Which of these do you think is going to come back?
Yeah, do you want to return?
Right. I mean, heck, if it takes place after the events of Skyrim, are we going to see more dragon plate and scale armor around? Because there's dragon corpses.
There was a huge influx of dragons all over.
Yeah. So that could be a thing. Yeah. So it'd be interesting. Let us know what you think is going to come up in the next game based on this.
Because again, I feel like there's a lot with all of we've gone through the changes throughout the series back and forth. It's like, what are the things you think benefited or don't? The only thing that I feel undermines the weight a bit in Skyrim is your perk trees, because the final level of it makes the weight of the armor type zero.
Yeah. Yeah, so all of a sudden it doesn't matter anymore.
Objectively, there's never a reason to not just use
that. Well, once you get to that level, sure.
If you can get to level 100, you can negate the weight of it.
Yeah, so why not have Daedric armor? It doesn't matter if it weighs 81 pounds.
Correct.
Because it weighs nothing.
In my case, why not have Daedric armor? Because I am a slave to the glass fashion. That's really the only reason.
You got
to
do glass. Yep, there you go. All right, so that's our overview of armors across the series. And let us know if you want us to dig into some of the other little details. Yeah. There's more than just Daedric weapons out there for particular special types of armor and things. So,
oh, yeah, for sure. And I was going to say, hopefully this is a bit more of the item style number crunchy lore that some people I know like, as opposed to some of the other stuff. This is pretty much not nebulous. It's just here in the game that we can look at, and I just kind of like to see its evolution throughout the series.
Heck, we could even do a whole thing about shields and how much stronger or weaker or whatever the shields are to the base armor sets, and then are they effective or not in different ways in different games. That could be a whole thing if you want to dive into that.
Just Daedric Tower Shields from Morrowind were the greatest.
There you go.
The greatest thing to enchant.
All right, Lotus, this has been super fun. Thanks for putting this together. We're going to take a quick break, and then we got to go thank our patrons, and we've got, of course, the random UESP page. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, we've got to shout out our patrons. Thank you, everybody, for supporting this show on patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. If you'd like to sign up, we will shout out your name. We don't have any new ones this last week, but come on, come and join us. Get ad-free episodes and t-shirts and stickers. And oh, Lotus, I designed new t-shirts to roll out in the new year. I know we're still a few weeks away from the new year, but we're coming up on the next refresh.
Oh, I haven't seen the prototypes yet.
Yeah, I was just working on it this week. We finished all the Daedra. We've had t-shirts for all the different Daedra. And now would be the perfect time if you want to get on board for the next year to make sure that you get... So every year we put out 4 t-shirts, right? And if you sign up, you get a t-shirt after... Once the new shirts roll out every 3 months, another shirt gets sent to you if you're signing up at that tier, or a sticker if you want to do the lower tier below that. You can get stickers of these, but we're moving from Daedra to Aedra, and I've got the first 4 Aedra set up, and I think they look super cool. I'm going to reveal these. I'll put some posts up in Discord and whatever, and on the Patreon probably in the next few weeks as we're getting closer to the rollout in the beginning of the next year. So lots of cool stuff coming if you want to get be a part of that. Also, if you want to join us for patron chats, you can sign up at that tier as well. Like, not our Daedric Princes, they're the tier above that, but they get shout outs every week. Kirasi, Hersine, Peter R, and Austin B, thank you for your continued support as Daedric Princes. But everyone who's Dragonborn or above can join us for our patron chats. And next week's patron chat falls on Thanksgiving here in the US. So, Lotus, I'm thinking maybe we push it to like Friday night instead.
Yeah, maybe we see what people are doing Friday. We'll find a day that works for people, because I don't feel that's a great day.
Not a great day. So we'll have to push it probably back to a Friday or Saturday night or something like that. So we'll be communicating with all of you on the Discord server in the special channel that all of you can see about what we're going to talk about and when we're going to get together. So thank you to everybody for the support. Also, another wonderful way to help us out is to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I'll read that out on a future episode. We don't have a new one this week, but if you leave your words, I'll read it out. Also, it's super helpful because lots of different podcast platforms and places pull those reviews onto their own sites. So it does, even if you don't listen on Apple, it does disperse that information across the internet and really does help out the show. So Lotus, I've got our random page listed. Before we get into it, you want to let people know what's going on with Tales of Tamriel?
So we have actually been we wanted to record an episode earlier this week. It didn't happen due to needing to deal with daylight savings time in the US and not the rest of the world, and us already having an 8 hour time gap between the two of us. But yeah, we're hoping that we can actually record this weekend because we're a week overdue. So stay tuned. You will have a new episode of Tales of Tamriel on your feed soon enough. But yeah, incoming. And it looks like we have finalized when we're going to have our game, our Extra Life weekend. It's been much more chaotic to plan this year, but we are looking for the weekend of December 5th, so Friday, Saturday into Sunday. Usually we kind of do a marathon where we play all sorts of different games, raise money for the Extra Life charity, and just kind of have a fun time while we do it until we get delirious from streaming for so long is usually what ends up happening. So stay tuned for that. We have lots of giveaways incoming from several different sources. So you'll be able to, even if you just hang out with us and help keep us awake, you might have a chance of winning something good while we raise money for a great cause in the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals.
Awesome. Yeah, it's always a good time to watch you guys do things and then contribute to your suffering.
Yeah, I'm hoping that I can beat Daggerfall this
Ooh,
year
that'd be
during the
great.
stream, due to
Yeah.
popular request. That is going to be my goal.
And if you donate enough, then maybe you can sidetrack him from the goal.
That's what happened last year until I got trapped out in a field with guards for nearly 3 hours.
Oh my God. Nice. Perfect. Wonderful. That is entertainment. So yeah, go, he'll have more information about that in the future, and
Yep,
you
more
can jump
incoming
in
each week.
and be a part of it. Yeah, I've got my other shows, of course, and the new show Retro Recall is out. The first episode is out.
Woo.
We go back and play Double Dragon 2 for the first time in like 35 years. Let that sink in. 35 years.
I'd rather not let that sink in.
Yeah, and John, my co-host, and I try to, you know, so we play it, we see if it holds up, we discuss it, we discuss the way the world was in 1990 when it came out, and all sorts of fun things. The episode is up on the Retro Recall podcast feed, but it's also up on the YouTube channel, and you can watch it or listen to it both ways, but of course the it's better to watch in video because you can actually see the clips of us playing as we just talk about
it
things.
Is a more video style show.
It
I
is.
Listened to it and actually preferred the video, and I don't usually prefer a video over
yeah
some things.
It's designed to work for both, but if you don't watch the video part, there are things that you like there, and there are some visual jokes and things that you just don't, there's no audio for, so
yeah, they're not gonna lend the same
right, like when we mention certain actors or something and then they pop up on the screen or that kind of stuff. So yeah, go check that out. Also, you probably have by the time this comes out, you probably have already noticed that I dropped it in the feed, so if you listen to it in the feed and you want to follow it, then you know, go find the there's links in the description, all that, you'll know where to go. So I've got that, and then of course the Fallout Lorecast, the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, and of course all the other shows on robotsradio.net. lots of wonderful shows about lore of different games and other stuff too, not just lore shows. So go check that out. But Lotus, are you ready for our random page?
All right, how random is it this week?
This is from Morrowind. We talked a good bit about Morrowind on this episode. And that coincides. Other than that, I'm not sure this coincides with anything because it is a character. It's under Morrowind People. Now, I'm going to say a name and you tell me if you even know who this person is because, well, Todd knows how many characters there are in Morrowind and there's a lot. Ernard Guinness. Does that ring a bell?
Clearly or not. No, absolutely not,
not
a
at all.
Chance.
Probably.
I don't know who that is.
No. Yeah. Okay. Well, this is who it is. Ernard Guinness is a hostile Briton mage who can be found inside Omnicerilus. I probably butchered how you pronounce
good,
that.
Good.
He is not relevant to any quests and provides no unique information. So the fact that you don't have any memory of this guy, that totally tracks. He does nothing. He just walks around. He wears some clothes. He carries a short blade and a copy of 2920 and Rain's Hand. That's it. That's all he
it's
does.
It's almost memorable how unmemorable he is.
Or 2920, Rain's Hand is one book. There's a comma in
yes,
there. So
yes, there's a comma there.
I process that as two things. But yeah, that's it. He can fight back, I guess, if you want to fight him. He's got 99 health. He's level 18. He's a Breton. He's male. He's a mage. He's got 178 magicka.
He sounds like an accountant.
I mean, he's just kind of a regular dude walking around in robes. Yeah, like
just a dude being a dude.
He's just a dude. This is why the UESP is so good, because you just find just like, I mean, somebody is going to listen. We have enough listeners to this podcast that somebody's going to listen to this podcast and go find him in Morrowind.
Or somebody will just straight up know who that is and be like, yeah. Oh yeah, no, he's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, I steal his stuff every time I play. Okay, yeah. Cool.
He has no unique dialogue, but totally right. Love him.
Yep, love that guy. So Ernard Guinness. I feel like somebody needs to make an indie band just called Ernard Guinness as a tribute to this like totally regular guy. So if you remember who he is, or you steal his stuff or whatever, or you go find him in Morrowind after this episode, please let us know. That would be hilarious. But that's gonna do it for this week. Lotus, thanks for taking us through all the armor and stuff, and we will be back next week with our patron episode some way or another. We'll figure out when to record it. I mean, who knows, maybe we'll have to push it back a week or whatever, but we'll figure things out. And if you're celebrating Thanksgiving this week, have a wonderful time. Hopefully you're enjoying time with your family and friends and all of that. So or, you know, just avoiding talking politics and religion. Either way. So
that's probably for the best.
Probably for the best. All right. Well, until next time, put on your armor and get ready for family get together. All right. We'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Bye. Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Have you tried going back and playing the games you played as a kid?
We're talking nostalgia overload, fun facts, and seeing if we can remember how to beat games we haven't played in 30 years.
Come join us. Retro Recall is all about nostalgia and reliving those years of zero responsibility.
Each episode, John makes me play a game from our youth, and I challenge him to do something in that game, and then the loser has to try one of the worst games ever made.
It's fun, it's terrible, but most of all, it's a look back at simpler times.
In the first episode, we try Double Dragon 2, and let's just say that John is still having nightmares about some of the terrible games he had to play.
You say that, but I'm not the only one. The Ghoul School?
Dear God.
Check out Retro Recall on YouTube and your favorite audio podcast platforms.
There are links in the main show description, or just search Retro Recall.
Retro Recall. Come join us. Games are always better with friends. Retro Recall.